Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Life changed for Pastor Vicki and I when we came to Maplewood. There are a lot of changes that happened a couple of years ago when we came here, and they're all great and good changes, and got me to thinking about moments in my life when life changed. Life changed when Pastor Vicki and I became parents. You know, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you know what it's like. The world turns upside down. One day we were footloose, we were fancy free. It was just Pastor Vicki and I figuring out, you know, how to do life together. We were just married back in 1991, and we were just babies, and we were just trying to figure out how to live life together. And I remember I was at work over in Newark at a radio station. I was a disc jockey at the time, and I was on the radio. I was live on the air, but I was in between breaks, and I was queuing up a record, and the phone in the studio rings, and I'm like, it's another one of those crazy little ladies asking for me to play Johnny Cash. And it wasn't, it was my wife. And she said, hey, I've got news. And I'm like, are you okay? Because you don't typically call me at work. She says, you're going to be a dad. And for one time in my life, I was speechless. I remember the day she called me, and I was just sitting there doing my thing, and I'm speechless. And then 9 months later, along comes Curtis. And from then on, the day he was born, our lives changed forever. I mean, it was one day things were one way and she was pregnant, but when Curtis was born, things changed forever. And from then on in our lives weren't just about the two of us getting along and trying to figure out how to get along together. Our lives started revolving around this really needy, loud little person that was now in our lives. And he was bald back then, and now he's 25 and he's bald now, and he's not as needy, and he's grown up, and he's a great guy, and we're so proud of him. But our lives, they dramatically changed when Curtis was born in 1993. And then a few years later, Stephen was born. Stephen comes along, and Stephen has been with us. He's not here this morning, but he's been with us this summer, back from college, having graduated. Totally different personality than his older brother, but he's unique and precious to his mother and I in a very special way. And then after Stephen, and this may be a familiar story for some of us, we were on course for baby number three. We were on course for baby number three, but we lost that child to a miscarriage. We lost that child to a miscarriage. And I remember laying in bed after that happened and asking myself, how can I be so attached to a child I didn't even know? It was devastating. It was devastating. It was hard to get over. But I live today in the hope that I'm going to meet that child in heaven someday. Amen. I'm going to meet that child in heaven someday. In my heart, I know, in my heart of hearts, that out of our children, that one was my daughter. That was my daughter. And I know in my heart, someday I want to be able to see her. I live in that hope. Precious children. Precious children. Then a few years later, after that happened, we welcome Andrew into our household. And I remember as we're growing into this family, Pastor Vicki, when she was pregnant with Andrew, had to be on bed rest for like the last 6 weeks of her pregnancy, because she couldn't move around because the baby wasn't ready to come yet, and she had gone into premature labor. And so she lived on our couch in our living room for the last 6 weeks of that pregnancy. And it was right before the Easter cantata. And I'm like, honey, how can you plan an Easter cantata when your due date is the same week? But she did. And I remember in my living room having 25, 30 people in my living room lined up in my living room. The church choir was rehearsing the Easter cantata in my living room because Pastor Vicki couldn't go to the church because she had to stay down because of the need to protect Andrew. But we got all past that. Andrew was born, and now our children are they're now grown men, which is really hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun, right? But they are precious to us. They are precious. They are ours. We have invested our entire lives in them. And now we're just kind of getting on this backside of being empty nesters, and it's kind of cool. Just a little bit. Just a little. But we're so proud of the fine young men they've become. Our lives, our hearts, our dreams, our hopes, greatly invested in our precious children. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And this is really what I want to focus on this morning. Our precious children is what I want to focus on today. It's the theme we're going to be hitting on this week. It's the theme Pastor Rudy's going to hit on next week when he's here. And it's probably going to be our theme the week after Faith Promise too. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Would you stand with me? Let's read this together standing up this morning. I need you to get up and get the blood flowing into your legs so you don't fall asleep for the rest of the service. Luke chapter 18 verse 15. It says that, very familiar passage here, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have Him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to Him and said, "Let the little children come to Me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never receive it." It's the word of God this morning. You could be seated. I'd like to look at this passage as you're sitting back down this morning as if it were a mirror today, okay? I want to look at it as a mirror, as if we're looking into the Word of God. Does our image reflect what we find in the Word of God today? And the first reflection that I had as I read this passage this week, very simple and very literal. Jesus called the children to Himself. Jesus called the children to Himself. He said, "Let them come to Me. Let them get out of the way, boys. Let the children come to Me." Jesus welcomed the children. And so when we hold that mirror up to us, do we welcome the children? Because they can get a little rowdy and rambunctious during church. They can make noise, interrupt our worship time. Do we welcome the children? The people wanted their babies to be touched by Jesus, just like people today come to us and say, "I want you to dedicate my baby to Jesus." Children, rambunctious. Children, they just don't know how to behave some of the time because they're just kids, right? They're just children. And we have kids that are learning to do church right now with us. And isn't it wonderful to have children in our church? We could remember when we got here, there were only a few, and now we've multiplied. It's great. It's awesome. Children, they don't always know how to behave, but children, they're always watching. They're always listening. Anybody had a child repeat what you said and you were kind of shocked at what they said? And they were like, "Well, you said it." Yeah. Children, they're always learning. One of the things I love about children is children are real. Children are authentic. They really don't have a filter. You don't get a filter in your life until you're about 7 or 8. And then you lose your filter, I think, at about 70. Is that true? But children are always real. They're always authentic. They are just doing what they do. They say what they say, and they do it without a filter. You know, they don't even know that they need a filter some of the time. And, you know, you'll be standing there in line, and some kid will be behind you, and he'll say up to his mom, she'll say, "Gee, Mommy, that man's fat." "What are you talking about, little girl?" Or, you know, we were standing in line once, and at a store one time, and some little girl looked at Vicky's dress. She said, "That says ugly dress." And her mom was like, "Shut up, you know, be quiet." All embarrassed. But with kids, what you see is what you get. And as adults, let's be honest, that frustrates us at some times because we like things in a certain kind of way. It frustrates us, but Jesus welcomed the little children. And sometimes, folks, as we have more and more kids come in, I think we expect way too much of our kids. So we as adults, we need to kind of lower our expectations of our kids and be willing to bring them along so that they can learn how to do church and learn how to be in church. We can't expect them to act like adults all the time. Sorry. Not going to happen. We can't expect them to sit still and not squirm some of the time because they're kids and they've got energy. And boy, don't you wish you had some of that? Children, they're rambunctious, they're authentic, they're real, they've got energy. Children also are blank slates. You know, our kids are they're really blank slates that we have the privilege of molding and shaping. And I want you to see the privilege that we have here at Maplewood to mold and to shape our kids. Our children, they're our future. Our kids are our future. We need to be patient with them, Maplewood. We need to be patient with our kids. We need to invest in them. And when I say we, I mean all of us, not just some of us. We need to have a stake in the game in investing in our kids. And as a church whole, we need to create an environment where our children can come and cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. And I think in the same way, so let's talk about this literally and figuratively. Jesus was literally talking about the little children. Let's talk figuratively. In the same way, I think we need to be patient and invest in and cultivate new children in Christ. We need to be a church where people can come in and not know how to behave and just be real and authentic and find a place where they can feel welcome and figure out how to cultivate this new, vibrant, life-changing relationship with the Jesus Christ we know as our Lord and our Savior. They are all precious in His sight. But are they precious, truly precious, in our sight? Because my kids are precious to me, but you're like, Pastor, your kids are obnoxious. Are they truly precious in our sight? Or deep in our hearts, do we find these little ones, these newbies, do we find them annoying? Messing up my church vibe. Got to be careful, church. We've got to be careful. If new children in Christ are really precious to us, whether they're figurative or literal, If new children in Christ are really precious to us, we'll find a deep commitment. We'll find a long enduring patience. The love of God, so rich and pure, it's enduring. That same enduring love will come and flow through us. And we'll find this desire to nurture these children. And folks, that's not just something we make ourselves do. That's the Holy Spirit having to come into us and work our hearts and change our hearts and make an impact through us. We've got to be living our lives so that the Holy Spirit can work through us to nurture our children, both figuratively and literally. The children, both the little ones and the spiritual babies, need to be precious in our sight. Are they precious to us today? Or are they just somebody off in the periphery of our life that we're not really paying attention to? For people who are following Jesus, if one of the true measures that you can tell you're following Jesus is that Jesus' passion becomes your passion. Jesus' passion becomes our passion. The children, both the little ones and the spiritual babies, need to be precious in our sight. And that means we need to make it easy for people to receive the kingdom. That means we have to make room. We have to make room for people to come to Jesus. We have to make it easy for people to come to Christ, to receive His word. And it makes me think, if you're a person outside of a relationship with God, and you're trying to figure out how to get in a relationship with God and make things right, you already have enough stumbling blocks in your way. You don't need somebody within the church getting in your way, becoming a barrier or a stumbling block for you to get to the cross. Church, we need to become a pathway. We need to make sure we're clear in the aisle so that the children can come to Jesus. We need to make it easy. We need to make space for people younger and older to learn and grow. And that's really why we're doing Next Gen. Tom mentioned it earlier in the service this morning. One of the reasons we're doing Next Gen on Sunday night, what have we done? We've made space in the way that we do church so that we can reach the children and our young people. And God is blessing us as we're making space. And you could say, oh, we're taking away the Sunday night service. No, we're making space in our limited time and resources so that we can allow people to figure out this relationship with Jesus. We need to make space. It's one of the reasons we're doing Faith Promise next week. We're making space. We're setting aside an entire service to talk about missions, to talk about the kingdom purpose, to talk about the Great Commission and how we need to make space in our lives during the service next week, but also open up a little bandwidth in the meager means that we have to support missions across the world. We're making space so the precious children in His sight can come to Jesus. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Amen. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. It's not just a song we teach kids in Sunday school. It's not just a song we sing in VBS. This summer, you and I went through this journey over the summer talking about how Christ's identity impacts our personal identity. Right? I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer me living, but it's Christ living within me. That's what's happening. So you know what happens when a bunch of people step out of the grave and strip off their grave clothes and start walking into the street? I'm not talking about the walking dead, although you may have thought that. I'm talking about the church. And together, as we're on this journey, our identities collectively are being transformed, where Christ's passions start becoming our passions. And we begin to learn how to live this life of Christ together and individually out in the streets. And live our lives in such a way that the little children truly are precious in our sight. Because that's what this journey is all about. It's about coming from the person that I was to becoming this person where Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. They're not only precious in His sight, they're precious in my sight too. Do we hold that passion? Do we hold that compassion? Do we hold that empathy? Do we hold that desire to let them come to Jesus? Sometimes this whole thing that we do in church gets really messy. It can get really complicated. We bump into each other. That's my thing. No, that's my thing. I've always done that. No, well, I'm going to do, you know, as we grow, as we expand, we're going to have more of those types of things happening where we bump into each other. In church, we need to make space so that people can come to Jesus. And we come to Jesus a lot of the times through serving and doing. We can get in each other's way. Sometimes we can step on each other's toes. Whew, it gets messy. But through it, we grow. Through it, we grow. I remember, and I can take you back. This is weird because I can't do this with many sermons. I can take you back to August of 1988. Wow. Troy Church of the Nazarene. Ron Barber, his first Sunday as the pastor at the Troy Church of the Nazarene. Ron was my pastor for all of like 3 weeks before I went to college. But I had some pretty deep faith conversation with him over the years, and he's gone now to be with the Lord, but boy, he preached this sermon, and in this sermon, he talked about how the church is kind of like a rock polisher. Have you ever seen one of those rock tumbler machines? He's like, you know, the church is kind of like one of these rock tumblers that kids use or have. You dump all of the rough-edged rocks into the tumbler, and you put a little bit of chemical fluid in there, and you turn it on, and what happens? They have that fluid in there, but those rocks, they're bumping all off of each other, and what happens is they're all bumping off of each other, is they're knocking the hard edges off of each other as iron sharpens iron. And then after you go through the process of those rocks knocking around on each other, you open up that thing, and you pour those rocks out. They're no longer rough edges. They're really pretty smooth rocks. Almost like jewels. I remember I had one of those when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, look at my precious jewels. They were rocks. But that's what happens in church. God puts us all in this barrel, and the Holy Spirit's injected into this place, and then we do church, and we learn how to love each other, and we learn how to love God, and we're bumping each other around, and all this stuff's happening. I'm bumping into Ed. Ed's bumping into me. I'm bumping into Cheryl. Cheryl's bumping into Nancy. But over time, as we're kind of bumping into each other and doing life together through the Holy Spirit, the rough edges are knocked off of our lives in the church, and we're polished. And as we're formed together, do you see that? We don't just go off and grow in Christ on our own. We are formed together as we serve the Lord together at Maplewood. He's not just growing the church, He's growing us into the people that He wants us to be through the power of His Holy Spirit as we allow Him. And that's the key, as we allow Him. Our purpose at Maplewood is to be a place where people can come here and learn to live in this new life with Jesus. Amen. That's why we are here. Sometimes it's going to be messy. Sometimes it's going to be a train wreck. Our goal, though, is to help people train up and shape up spiritually so we are learning what it means to live up to the expectations that God sets for us when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. So that we can learn what it means to love God. And so we can learn what it means to love other people. That's our mission. That's why we're here. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's awkward. There's no better way to summarize why Maplewood exists. Because Maplewood loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in our sight. Amen. Maplewood loves the little children of the world.
Yes.
Amen? Some of those precious children, they look like our young ones sitting in the back here being all rambunctious earlier during the service. Some of those precious children, they look like our children. They look like our young people. My question for you this morning, are they precious in your sight? Well, that's not my kid, Pastor. Are they precious in your sight? Because they're precious in Jesus' sight. Do you love them? Do you have a heart for them? For our little kids? Do you know them by name? Because if you love somebody, you're going to know them. By, you're going to take the time to get to know them. Do you know what they like to do? Do you know their little quirks and their little habits? The challenges that they face? Do we take the time to get to know the little children that are right in the pews of our own church? Do you pray for them every day? Remember a year ago, I asked you to make a list of 5 or 6 people that you're praying for that they'd come to know Jesus? Maybe it's a good time to take that piece of paper out and update your list of 5 or 6 people that need to get to know Jesus. And maybe a couple of those people are a couple of our children specifically who you've gotten to know, either through children's church, Sunday school, just being here Sunday morning, or next gen on Sunday night. Because Jesus loves the little children, and what's important to Jesus should be important to me and to you. So some of the precious children look like our children. Some of the precious children that we're focused on at Maplewood are people that we like to call forgetters. All right? Remember how we talked about this about a year ago? And if you weren't here a year ago, this is who we're trying to help. People who knew Jesus Christ at one point in time. And they had a relationship with Jesus. But somehow, some way in life, they've forgotten who He was, and they've gotten away from Christ. And what we want to do at Maplewood, we want to make this a place where forgetters can come and rekindle that relationship and remember that relationship with Jesus and revitalize that relationship with Jesus as their personal Savior. Do you love forgetters?
Amen.
Jesus does. They're precious in His sight. Do you love forgetters, or... boy, it's really tempting because we've all got them in our lives. Do you love them, or have you written them off? Jesus wants to correct our attitude this morning and say it's time to get back to loving them. Don't become a forgetter yourself. Be the intercession. Be the intercessionary agent in their lives to pray for those people in our lives we know who have forgotten Jesus and need to come back. And not only do we love them, do we make them feel welcome when they're here? Not judged. This is a place where you can just come and feel like you're part of a place where people are not going to get in your business or tell you what to do. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. Do we make them feel welcome? Is Maplewood a place where these precious children who have forgotten can reconnect with Jesus? Are we desperate for them to come back home? Like the father in the prodigal son story was desperate for his son to come back home. No judgment, just acceptance, understanding, and forgiveness when they come back. Do you know him by name? Do you have one or two of those people in your list of people that you're praying for on a regular basis? People who've forgotten Jesus and need to be reacquainted with him. So some of them are our children. Some of these precious children look like forgetters. And then some of these precious children that we're talking about today, they're people who have never in their life given the message of Jesus a fair hearing. They've just never, they don't know. They don't know. Do you love them? Do you even have a heart for them? Are our hearts even moved for these people who don't know about Jesus? Or are we so consumed with our own stories and our own selves that we're ignorant, blissfully ignorant of the spiritual need around us? Does our heart break for these people who've never in their life given the message of Jesus a fair hearing? You know, when I think about people like this, I think about that child that Pastor Vicky and I lost to a miscarriage, and how much that I did not know that child personally, but how much I actually love that child that I've never met. Do we have that kind of love for people we don't even know, people we've never met, for them to come to Jesus because they're precious to Jesus and they should be precious to us? Are our arms open to people who've never given Jesus a fair hearing in their life? Or are we kind of doing this? Are we repelled by the way they act, the way they look, the way they speak, the way they smell? I don't know. Are we opening our arms or are we repelling them away? Red, yellow, black, white, clean, dirty, gay, straight, trans, drug addict, recovering addict, blue collar, white collar, healthy, sick, disabled. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Are they precious in our sight? Do we pray for them every day? Do you have somebody on your list that doesn't know Jesus, has never given him a fair hearing, and they need to get to know him? Are we praying for somebody like that in our lives, Maplewood? Kind of wrap this up in a bow this morning. Our purpose here is not to create a place where you and I can come and belly up to the table and get fat and sassy on Jesus. It's not what we're about. That's not what God calls us to. That's not what he calls us to come in and be fed at a spiritual buffet every week where you can take what you want and choose when you want to come and when you don't want to come and what you want to participate in and what you don't want to participate in. That's not what it's about. The vision that God is calling Maplewood to is to make this place a hub, a location where people can come to know Christ and become the people that Christ intended them to be in the first place.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.